Jesus is Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we just thank you. You're already in our midst. What a blessing it is to be in your presence again. Father, just you're changing us. There's no question about it that you're changing us and preparing us for your return. And we just honor you in this place. We just thank you for what you've done to all of your children. And as they've come in, Lord God, and you've equipped them and blessed them, encouraged them, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the giftings, Lord, that you've given each and every one of us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that we are obedient, Lord, as you speak to us to talk to those that are around us and minister to those that you've sent us to. And Father, we just ask you just to come and just manifest yourself whichever way you see fit. And we just give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord God has given us the tongue of a disciple and of one who is taught that we should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens us morning by morning. He wakens our ear to hear as a disciple, as one who is taught. The Lord God has opened our ears, and we've not been rebellious nor turned backward. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to go real quick here so I can get Ralph up here. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13. Verse 15. Ephesians 5, verse 15. It says, look carefully then how you walk. Live purposely and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as the wise. Make the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. You know, I was looking at the scripture today, and there's a lot in here. I'll probably get into this next week. But it really struck me about in verse 16. It says, make the very most of the time, because the days are evil. Buying up each opportunity. You know, I was there was that terrible crash. Some of you may have known that happened up in D.C. area where a helicopter ran into a airliner that was coming in, and I was watching a man who had lost his wife and his son, and of course he was, you know, distraught and kind of talking about it, and so many things happen, and these thoughts go through my mind. I don't know about you, but you know, I'm sure they woke up in the morning, didn't have any idea that was going to take place, and we don't know the day that we're going to pass. You know, we don't know those things. I mean, we might know. We know that some of the apostles knew, they maybe the day, but they knew that sometimes of their outcome. And I really like this scripture, making the most of every day. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit's been teaching me or dealing with me on is that very thing, that every day is important. And somehow through a, I don't know, series of things over the years, he's kind of brought me to this place where that's in me. And so opportunities come up every day. And I was just getting my car washed today. Nothing fancy about that. There's salt on it and need to get it off. And it was actually my wife's car. So I pull up to the place and the credit card thing, you know, just swiper wasn't working. So there was an attendant there. And I saw I got to pull up, and he goes, what wash do you want? I go, well, let me see what Jesus wants me to get, probably a cheaper one. And I said, you look like a Christian, you know, I can see a Christian in you. And he's sitting there and he goes, go on through. He didn't even charge me. And I go, well, thank you so much. He goes, isn't God, God's good, isn't he? I go, yeah, he is good. And it blew me away because I had no idea that that was going to take place. It was nice saving $11. Of course, I reinvested it when I went to Aldi. But the point is, that little thing was important to him, and he is going to be blessed as a result of it because he doesn't know who I am. But it was just one of those things that are nice. But so many other things happened today too, and one of the things that happened that I'm not sure if I want to go back and do it differently, but as I drop my son off, I'm coming back on the expressway, and this guy is right on my bumper on the expressway. I mean, he is right up in the bumper. And I don't like that. I don't appreciate riding me on the bumper, so I hit my brakes, didn't stop it, just flash him, and laid on the horn. And I wasn't going slow or anything, and so I picked it up, got away from him, and then I came up to that other car right there, and I pulled up, and I stayed with that other car, and I became that guy. And of course, he pulled up and just laid the horn on it, and I'm just sitting there just enjoying it, that he can't get by me, and so then I finally took off, and he got around. He just went off next. He must have been, it's a he or she, I don't know who it was. I couldn't really look at it, but they probably were late to work. And I'm thinking to myself, gosh, why did I do that, And maybe I saved him from getting in a wreck. I have no idea. Or maybe I just need to have an adjustment, And so, and that's a little thing, guys, but I'm just saying, I wasn't in the spirit of love when I did that. I was more like I was annoyed. I had the annoying come on me, And so, when we get annoyed, we do things. And so I wish I could go back and do it, but at the same time, too, I don't know if the Holy Spirit told me, I probably saved him from getting a wreck, or maybe God was using me, or maybe he wasn't, okay? I had to confess that. Now that I got that out, I can move on. So making the most of every day is really important because you don't know. And so take advantage of that. I'm really been meditating on the fact that there is an assessment of our life. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I tend to go back through my life. And one of the things that I'm, I go back through my life and I'm starting to think about people that maybe I hurt, how that is kind of, you get a review of our life when we stand before the Lord. And you've heard me say this, he's not going to bring up our sins, but we are going to give an account and we complete our mission. But we might get a little bit of a review of, the people maybe that we've hurt. And so I've kind of did a little review of my life and kind of went back and just kind of looked at that just a little bit. But at the same time, too, I realize how much the Holy Spirit has changed me over the years. And I think it's good to take a little bit of review of your life and see how the Holy Spirit has changed you over the years and how that change is continuing. It's not stopped. And we have to embrace that. And part of our life and part of our walk with God is a walk of repentance. And repentance basically is change. And allowing the Holy Spirit to go into the nook and crannies of our life and to take advantage of each day and buying up the time to really invest in the people that are around us, to say something kind, to really reach out, because you are anointed, you really are. And that anointing manifests itself when we're doing things out of the motivation of the Holy Spirit. There's a time where we minister to other people out of duty. But then there's another time that we minister to people just a release of the Holy Spirit through the changes that he's made in our lives to release something that's actually authentic and genuine. When we really do wish someone a good day, it's not we're just saying it because it's conversation. We really do mean it. And we mean it with the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll bring more things out of you and me when we do that. One of the things that we absolutely have to avoid in our lives is strife. Strife will come at you, especially when you're doing something for the Lord. It will try to paralyze you. And if you're in a strife situation, the scriptures are very clear. Go to that person. That's the last thing that we want to do. It says, if at all possible, it'd be at peace with all men, okay? And so, but if you're in a strife situation, maybe you need to go to that person and try to work it out. Maybe you need to eat, as we call crow, whatever that means, and really just humble ourselves before the Lord, you know, because pride has a way of getting into us when there's a strife situation and you feel like you're in strife. There's something that's prideful in there that the Holy Spirit is dealing with. You know, I had an individual, the last thing I wanted to do is communicate to this person, because it wasn't so much that he hurt me, that he hurt other people around me. And I was in church one day, and I felt like, the message that was brought was along those lines. And so I immediately contacted this person. I just don't want these things contaminating my heart. And so I really would encourage you, if you are in any kind of a strife situation, that you deal with that, because you don't want to have this clog, and you don't want that assessment of your life for that to come up, okay? And the person may not receive you. They may not receive the apology or whatever, but that's okay. Take care of your end, because you don't want anything to clog up your ministries. Because the healing power of the Holy Spirit is going to be released in a greater dimension. It's already here and it's already happening. We've seen the Lord heal people here, and we're in an equipping meeting. We're not actually out to minister healing, but you know, there's our prophetic words obviously that come out of here a lot. But the healing power of God is to be carried, you know, as the Holy Spirit equips you, from this place where you go. And you're going to be experiencing that, okay? Some of the words that come out of your mouth, you may not be aware of it, that the Lord is doing that. Sometimes you're moving in the gifts of the Spirit unbeknownst to you. And so just encourage you, make sure that you take advantage of each day, because it counts, believe me. And when you start to do that, and you start to think about that, and you start putting in a week, and you start putting in weeks, and you start putting in a month, and you start putting in months, you find yourself in a different place with the Lord, because the Holy Spirit is not just using you, you're hearing Him. You are hearing Him. And that's so important, because I had a situation come up where a lady that had cancer, and and they found something else, and she was really, really bothered by it. And so she calls me up and wants to know what the Holy Spirit's telling me. And that's kind of a difficult situation, you know, and so I was talking with her, and I just came up in my spirit, it's not what they think it is, and it turned out to be true, and she was so thankful for that, and I was thankful that it happened, you know, because those are the things. But you know, I know that the reason I was able to do that is through practice and through allowing the Holy Spirit to move through me, so that I could learn to hear His voice. And that was a thought that came up in my head, but it was the Holy Spirit that did it. So you're probably around people that need to hear a word from the Lord and need encouragement, because maybe they're heading into a severe storm. And out of your experience and out of your life and walking with the Lord, that thought will come to you, and you'll be able to release it, and it will be right on target every time. Because it's authentic. It's coming from the Holy Spirit. It's coming from a foundation of love that you've walked out over a period of time. So one more time, and I'm going to let Ralph come up, is just please, 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 if you are in any strife situation, if you know of anyone that you might you know, have a problem with, get it worked out. It'll really bless you. And you know, they may hammer you. And that would be good practice to just allow yourself to be hammered. I mean, He went to the cross, you know, and maybe you need a hammering to get some stuff out of you. I mean, in a good way, you know what I'm saying? And maybe they'll repeat it 15 times. And if you can get that to the 15th time and not get upset, then you really know you're getting somewhere. Amen. Because sometimes my wife says things to me 15 times. And I notice that I think I've gotten to 15, but usually it's around 11 or 12 that I kind of lose it a little bit. But I'm getting better, you know. And so I'm thankful for her. I'm thankful that she'll, hammer me at times. And, they used to call Hammer Time. He was a dancer, or MC Hammer, whatever. So maybe it's good to be hammered just a little bit. So if you're in a strife situation, you go to that person and they start hammering on you, just thank God for it. Thank you. Just give it to me. Give it to your best shot, you know. And if they, you know, you couldn't offend Jesus, just couldn't do it. And so if He's inside of you, there's a place inside of you that can't get offended. Amen. Come on up, brother. I think we're playing a song or something first. And, okay. All right, you got it. You got the helm, as they say. Star Trek thing.
Make it so. I think I appreciate Todd asking me. You know, I mean, Danny's thing last weekend, I mean, it was, I mean, the bar was raised up to here, and then I get a call, Ralph, can you minister on Thursday? After this, okay, oh, we're going to come, but no, it's just teasing. It's a pleasure to be with you all again. I'm Ralph, and this is Patty. Oh, we've been married 55 years, and loving the Lord more every day, loving my wife more every day, and I was blessed many years ago to find out that my wife was writing poetry early in our Christian walk, and I looked at her and said, I didn't know you wrote poetry. She said, I don't write poetry. I have no idea where this is coming from. Actually, she was beginning to move in the prophetic when she was probably less than 3 weeks into the Lord. She was writing prophetic words to people, but we thought they were poems. And then we went and talked to our Presbyterian pastor about this, and you talk about some wild discussions. But she's been used prophetically for many, many years. She has a word tonight. So before we get started, I get started, we'll let her take this.
Okay. I'm going to share a word with the girl in the black. Could you stand up? I feel like the Lord says, the Spirit of God is upon you. He's all around you. He's in you, on you, and He's called you. And He wants you to separate yourself unto Him. He wants you to seek Him daily. I feel like that there are girls that are going to try to come into your life, and you're going to have a spirit of discernment that you're going to know, I don't need to be friends with them. And you don't need to be, oh, I'm sorry, I can't be friends. Just stay away, because God has got His hand on you mightily. He really does. He has such a call on your life, and He wants you to speak His word. And I feel like that what God is doing in you is going to happen quicker than when you're 30 and 20. I feel like that He's going to come on you real strong. So I just want to bless you with that. Amen. And on the way here, I've had this for about a week. I heard trespassing and detour. And I feel like that there's somebody in here that is planning on doing something, take a detour, don't do it. You've had a little question about it, take a detour, don't do it. It's not the Lord, take a detour. And it's like some people are into stuff, you're trespassing. You need to stop it and get away from it and don't let this corrupt your life. And I know this is not a real flouty word, but I feel like it's what God's told me to say. There are things that you can dibble and dabble in. Don't dibble and dabble in them. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Don't trespass and take that detour. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. It's so good to have the opportunity to share. And excuse me while I try to get this back on. Patty and I just, we came through the end of the year series time, as all of us have. And I don't recall whether I spoke in the month of December. If I repeat myself, forgive me, but the Lord spoke the word strongly, and this is not the first time, but I just want to share this with you as I get started. A lot of times we look at a new year as a new chapter in our life. How many say, well, this is a new chapter in my life? And actually, I feel strongly that the year of 2025, everybody in this room needs to say to the Lord, this is a new book that you are writing with me. This isn't a new chapter of the other book. I want to say to you, and I believe it's important for this group as well as others, because I have shared this briefly with our church, International Family Church, and a few individuals, is that there is something on the move in 2025. We can't pull that stuff from 2024 in and think this is the way to go. So I would like to encourage you when you get home tonight, just pray, spend just a few minutes with the Lord, say, Lord, I'm going to open my heart and thank you. You are writing a new book of my life this year called 2025. This is the year 2025. So, and again, that may be for some of you all that are like prone to just our, we get into these, I don't want to call it a rut, but we get into these thinking, these mindsets, and Pastor Nikki likes to call them mind skins. But you get into these situations and you just sort of pass through this year into the next, and it's the same old thing. Oh, that's a new chapter. And God just woke us up while we were away in December strongly and said, I want you to begin to open your book of 2025, not another chapter of 2024 or 20. Does that make sense? So I'm just going to encourage you when you get home, just take a few minutes and say, Lord, thank you that I am now in a new book. This isn't a third or fourth chapter of last year's book. This is a new book God is writing in those that have ears to hear, those that will open their heart. I believe that 2025 is a significant year for many of us. A lot of things are going to take place in your life, my life, Patty's life, all of us that are here, and even those that are absent tonight. There's some things that are going to take place in our lives. I believe we're at a year of great surprise. I'm not trying to pump you up. I'm just saying I believe that this is a year of great surprise for many of us. We're going to be surprised at what God does in us and through us. And we're going to be surprised about a lot of stuff we see. So, new book. Whenever I have the opportunity to minister from this, I'm always reminded that the person that generally stands here is going to do one of two things. Most pastors, most teachers, there's one of two things you're going to do. You're either going to remind people of what they already know but they have forgotten, or you're going to share something new that is maybe revelation, something new. Tonight I feel like it's a little bit of a mixture. I hope that we can see some things in a different sight, different framework of mind, different heart set. But also, I'm going to remind you of some stuff. My three-word title, I don't always title it, is just Revive Us Again. How many can say that with me? Revive Us Again. How many of you can say that one more time? Revive Us Again. And I feel that the word for the church in this year that is beginning to brew among a lot of different people in the body of Christ is a sense that we're on a cusp of something so significant happening. We want to make sure that our heart set is Revive Us Again. I believe we're going to see some things that we need to be those people that are revived. We're not just plodding along. I'm going to admit to you, I know you probably none of you in this room feel like this. There are seasons and times and there are days and weeks. I'm just plodding along. I mean, it's the same old thing, the same old thing, the same old thing. I mean, I know that you all never run into that. Probably I'm the only one in the room that could actually say, I sometimes just plod along doing the same thing. But that's me. And this is a time I believe God is stirring in several of us. For sure, Patty and I, and we've even had some words of Danny, matter of fact, he just looked right at us last week. And he just began to speak this word about revival. And that's been, we've been carrying this in our hearts for several years. And we're not sure how God is moving in and through us, but we do know that the church, the people of God, those that name the name of Jesus. And when I say church, I'm not talking about necessarily the organ. I'm just saying the body of Christ. We're at a point, particularly, and I'm going to say in this area. I don't know if you... There was some prophecy that came out of the fella in Korea. What was his name? Youngie Cho. Youngie Cho prophesied 30-something years ago about a revival in Florida, and that was going to run up the East Coast. It was going to sweep up the East Coast. And when it hit the East Coast, it was then going to go all the way across the United States. That was over 30 years ago. I'm still waiting on that. How about you? I mean, I'm waiting on that revival to come up and down the East Coast. And I believe that Columbia and the Lexington area is absolutely prime for being one of those centers of revival. And I believe that as the believers in these communities around Columbia, I believe we need to have that sense of expectancy, that anticipation, and continue to pray and cry out to God for revival, and let it begin, let it start right here in the Midlands area. Why not? I mean, we've heard about the Kentucky, we've heard about all that. Why not right here? Why not in our community? Why not in the Midlands of South Carolina? There's been so many prophetic words over this state, over this area. I don't know if you know this, but at one point this past year, I think it was during the summer, it was early in the fall, do you know that the Bible was read, it was spoken over the State House for, it took several, a number of, the entire Bible was spoken over our State House, right there on the grounds. And I believe that there's a passage in Scripture that says, His Word never returns void. Man, do you realize the Bible was preached, well, not preached, it was spoken, the Word of God was spoken over our state this past year in late September or maybe it was late August. I went down to some of those. I think Charles was down to some. Maybe some of you, did any of you go down and participate? You might not have known that you could, but they were looking for people to just come and say, hey, I'll read for the 20 minutes. And, you know, it was just really exciting to know. And I've prayed, I've raised it up to the Lord. Lord, Your Word was spoken over our State House, over the grounds of the state, over this community, over our state. And Lord, Your Word never returns void. Everything that was spoken out, let it be. I got so excited to just know that God's Word was just declared over our state. It didn't happen in every state. It happened here, it happened in several, but not every state. So revive us again. I've got a few passages of Scripture. I'm going to try to hit two or three different things again. Hopefully I'm reminding you of something. Maybe you'll hear something that is a springboard for you to grab a hold and run. Before I actually start, I want to just take a few minutes. It's about six and a half minutes. I've got Lewis has got a song. He's got a piece of music that's tuned up. Patty and I spend a lot of time seeking His glory. I don't know, it might sound foreign to you, but we'll sit in the house and we'll just cry out to God, let Your glory fill this house. You know, it's one thing when we all get together in a church building or up here and say, oh God, you know, let Your glory. But Patty and I just sit there on the couch and we're praying and say, God, just fill this place with Your glory. Fill this place with Your glory. And there's nothing like that. I mean, when His glory shows up, and that's a heart for all. I know we all have that heartbeat. God, it's Your glory. Let Your glory come. And sometimes we sense that. Sometimes we experience that. Occasionally we'll run into that. Maybe it's in a gathering like this. But I'm going to ask if you don't mind. There's this, we were introduced to a piece of music not long ago. Probably we were having 21 days of prayer, but it actually started in November. And our pastor, one morning, we were doing 6 a.m. prayer every day for almost 40 days. And as everybody was getting on the Zoom, he would just play some music. And he played this song. I have no idea what we prayed about that day. But I couldn't wait to get off the thing and text. What in the world was that song, that piece of music that you played? It blew us away. So I'm going to ask Lewis. And if you want to close your eyes, you stand, do whatever you want to do. You may have heard this. I don't know. But I just want you... Just, and if you want to copy this.
Here comes the glory of the Lord, sweeping in the room. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for changing our atmosphere. Thank You, Lord. Here comes healing. Here comes heaven. What great words. I hope that was an encouragement to you. Patty and I spend some time, and so all we do is listen to this song, and we just sit in this presence. Oh, I hope that was a blessing for you. That's the name of it. Here Comes the Glory of the Lord. You'd find it on YouTube. I encourage you, if you haven't. And have anybody ever heard that song before? Just a two or three of us. It's just a joy to just let your house be filled with His presence. So I've got a few scriptures. Revive us again. There's a lot of direction anybody can go when we talk about revival. We use the word revival. Actually, when we were in Blythewood, that's been over 20 years ago, we were pastoring in Blythewood. We had a gathering of pastors that we prayed with every day for 5 days, 5 days a week. We did that for 2 years. And we just shared stuff in common. And one of the things that we shared was the difference. Now, I'm not saying this is theological. I'm not saying that this will not be challenged. But this is the way we saw this. You revive something that once had life. An awakening of somebody is something that they've never seen before. So when we were praying, we talked about revival in two terms. Revival is the revival of those that had life. That's us, the church. Now, if you're in a good Baptist background, you come up in some of the Baptist churches and things such as that, a lot of influence. Revival was all about getting people saved, but I kept thinking, wait a minute, you know, that's not revival. You revive someone that had life. And I love Patty in one of our favorite movies. If you've not watched it, watch it just for this one term. The Princess Bride. How many of you remember The Princess Bride? If you've not seen The Princess Bride, please see The Princess Bride at least one time. And Miracle Max, which is Billy Crystal, he's one of, and the star of the show, the young man, he's laying his friends brought him in, plopped him down on this bed in front of Miracle Max, or probably a stone thing. And they're saying, he's dead. And they said, Miracle Max, you gotta do something. And Billy Crystal's just running around the room, and it's very, very funny. And he said, he's dead. And Billy Crystal goes over and he listens to him, and he says, he's not dead. He's just mostly dead. I could do something with somebody that's mostly dead. And that's the church. Listen, many in the church are not dead, just sort of mostly dead. And I ask you tonight, check your pulse. Make sure you're not one of those that Billy Crystal said, you're not dead, brother. You're just mostly dead. There's hope for you. And that's, I love to see, and then we told that story to all these pastors, these good denominational pastors. They didn't know what to do with some of the things we talked about. So I tried to convince them, said, man, you know, look at our congregations. Check your pulse. How many of our congregation are mostly dead? They're not dead. They're just mostly dead. How can we have revival of the people of God? And then we talk about awakening. And awakening is a powerful thing. When we look back in our history and we look at the Great Awakening, primarily it was an ushering in of a lot of new believers, not a lot of believers. It was, I mean, not necessarily rejuvenating and refiring the church, the people. A lot of it was many, many millions of people swept in were new believers. That was an awakening. So when I talk about revival, I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about people of God. I'm not opposed to in a revival meeting people getting saved. Absolutely. But we need, individually, we need revival. I need personal revival. We were at a church with Charles and Kathy many years ago called Forest Drive Baptist Church. And Doug was there with us. This young man came to live with us. We had a season that Doug lived with us. We got some funny stories. One of these days we might tell some stories about our... We won't tell those stories. But it was, you know, back in those days, you know, at Forest Drive, you know, we saw things happening. We saw, you know, things were beginning to take place. So all of us have these seasons. Patty's and my, you know, I asked people, I said, and this is one of the questions, do you have a personal involvement? Do you have a personal experience? Do you have a personal engagement with what you would consider revival? Some of us would say, yes. I saw something on the TV. Yes. I was in a meeting. You know, Patty and I were down at Brownsville many years ago. We went down there a couple of times. Brownsville, Florida. There was a massive amount of revival of the church, and many people got brought into the kingdom. But the most profound thing that took place is the people of God were revived. I mean, that was the powerful move. It was the believers flying in from all over the world to get involved, and that was a big service. Those were services you had to go down there 6 hours, stand in line on the hot sun and all that. But we saw that. But when we were at Forest Drive, I would never forget Pastor Glenn Anderson. We told him, said, God's going to move this year. God's going to move. And finally, at one point, he said, how do you know? And Pat and I said, because he's going to move in us. That's how I know God's going to move in this church. God's going to move in us. And if you haven't come to that point, say, wherever you are, if you attend a church or if you're among, like here in this room right here, if you say, hey, there's going to be revival right here. How do you know? Because it's going to happen in me. I'm open. So as I share, just want to share a few passages and sort of go as quickly as I can. I'm already running a little bit longer than I thought. Psalm 85, 6. Now here's a revival word in Psalms 85, 6. And I love this passage, heard it many times. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? So, what a profound, simple cry out to God. Now these, you know, we're not talking about New Testament believers here. We're talking about the people of God, Israel, and the psalmist is crying out, will you not revive us? Wasn't saying, he's a psalmist. He's writing, you know, his own psalms to the Lord. He didn't say, revive me. He said, revive us. Why? Because we want to rejoice in you again. So one of the things that is missing in our experience as believers, if we're mostly dead, we're not rejoicing in the things of God. We're not rejoicing. We're not daily waking up saying, God, you're so incredible. I cannot not praise you. I can't go through the day without rejoicing in you because you're so good. I mean, there it is right there. What is one of the evidences of revival? Out of the Old Testament, you're going to rejoice. So check your pulse. If you're not a rejoicer, guess what? You might be mostly dead. So it's such a beautiful simplicity. I love it. Revive us so that we can rejoice in you. Revive us again that we might rejoice in you. Very simple, but very profound. I like stuff that's simple. I'm not a real, real complicated theologian. I leave that to Doug and others. Psalm 30, 11 and 12. I've got this in two translations. Psalms 30, 11 and 12. You have turned my wailing into dancing. You have removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you a few times next week. Forever. I will pray. If you do this, oh, you've turned. In other words, God, you've done something so, and this can happen over and over and over. We can say that to God. You have turned my mourning into dancing. How many times? Oh, every, who knows? Maybe every month. I don't know. Do you ever face those times that we do from time to time? Living this life, you run into things that just cause, maybe it grieves you inside. You don't know what to do with it. And you're praying. Said, God, I need you to help me. But we all, I mean, our lives are not just on this simple plane of affliction. None of us live there. We live very real lives. We run into, bam, dead ends. Listen, can you imagine? I heard the story. Did you know that there was a group of skaters on there? I mean, a whole team of professional skaters. These were actually young women. All of them went down in that plane. Can you imagine the grief that the family must be feeling? And then to be able to know that there is truth that says, you've turned my mourning into dancing. It says, my wailing. Just think of not only mourning, just crying, sobbing. That must be where those people are. I can't imagine what they're going through.
You've removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. This is, as I saw this, to me, again, I'm trying to, this says to me, this is an example, or this is a visual demonstration of what revival looks like. I'm no longer grieving. I'm dancing before the Lord with joy. You can't stop me. I know that I just lost somebody, but I'm so filled with joy. You've done this for me. And that is an expression of a heart that is always in revival mode. So I look through that. I love this other translation of this. It's out of the Message. You did it. Changed my wild lament into whirling dance. You ripped off my black mourning band and decked me with wildflowers. I'm about to burst with song. I can't keep quiet about you. God, my God, I can't thank you enough. We look at these passages. This is not New Testament stuff, folks. This was going on back in the day, and yet they were encountering God at such a level that they could not help but dance, but sing. And I'm saying that for us, just people, part of the body of Christ. Some of us in here are leaders. You're influencers. We're some of us in this room, you know, it may be an influence to a family member. It may be influence to a group of people. It might be influenced in a school. But many of us in this room today are influencers. And I don't want to take my almost dead body into a situation. So let me see if I can help you, brother. And I'm looking over here, man, my heart's hardly beating. I'm half dead, and I'm trying to help my brother. He's not going to get anything out of that. He's probably got more life than I do. We all get those seasons where, you know, check your pulse. You might be like the guy on the table, Billy Crystal said, but there's hope for you. You're not dead. You're just partly dead, mostly dead. So the interesting part about, we don't know much about sackcloth. How many of you ever had a sackcloth on? Anybody ever had one of them? Well, it's made out of hair. It's not a skin. It's made out of hair. So probably none of us in here have ever had a sackcloth. And probably none of us have thrown ashes up on our head. But there was a very significant aspect. This said something to the people that put that on. It represented, when they wore that, it represented grief. It was a way of expressing. And again, this is a cultural thing. I don't know that if I put a sackcloth on, it would do anything for me, for my grief. Probably not. But back in the day, that's what they did. That was an expression. But it also, they were feeling that. It exemplified, I'm grieving. And the ashes, now this was interesting. So the sackcloth, it expressed along with the ashes, it was actually repentance and humility. Those were the two things going on when we read about the sackcloth and ashes. It wasn't, I'm mourning because I lost somebody. This sackcloth and ashes was a repentance and humility statement because of my sin. That's what it was all about, the sackcloth and ashes. And so it's mourning over my sin or the sins of my family or nation. And so, you know, we see people in black. Matter of fact, Doug walked in with a black coat and said, brother, what are you all dressed up for? I said, I just came from a funeral. Very cultural, black expresses. And that basically, that represents something like a sackcloth in our culture. But when disaster strikes and things happen, awareness comes from personal sin or societal sin or cultural sin, anything such as that, we have developed all kinds of response mechanisms. It's not humility and brokenness. It's, well, let's see, what kind of, I need to watch that movie. Oh, no, I need to read this book. As our culture, we have all kinds of ways to deal with what would actually should profoundly affect us to fall on our face and cry out to God for forgiveness and humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And yet, because of how we've grown up and how just our culture has been invaded over the decades and over the years and years and years with different things, our defense mechanisms or our expressions are not falling on my face with humility and brokenness. It's I'm going to work this out somehow. Let's see. I need to read that book over there about grief, or I need to do that. No, and often what we really need is we need to come before the Lord with humility. You know, if we're not where we need to be, I'm not going to just try to get pumped up. I mean, I love this song, but if I'm far away from God, that song is going to do something for me in my brain. But until I say, God, forgive me, humble myself in brokenness. And the ashes, the sackcloth was that, and the ashes, actually, I love the term, the ashes were a symbol of the purifying fire of repentance. I've never even thought about the fire of repentance. Wow, that really stopped me dead in my tracks. The fire of repentance, that was the ashes. So in that passage that we just read, you've turned my wailing into dancing and removed my sackcloth and ashes. You clothed me with joy that my heart may sing your praises. I just saw that as an expression of some of us would see, that's how I respond when I am revive, when I know God is doing, hey, boy, he's got a hold of me, and Lord, you have got me, I'm going to dance around the house, I'm going to sing, I'm going to lift up my voice, I'm going to do foolish things perhaps, because I know that God has got a hold of me, and I'm being revived. That's just one encouragement. The other psalm is 119:88. This is really an interesting passage, and I know I've read through this. I know I've read this passage many, many times, but as I was just getting some things together for tonight, that passage jumped out. Let me read it to you, and then I'm going to see if I can give you a couple of tidbits of Ralph's understanding for what it's worth. Psalm 119:88. Revive me. Now, there it is again. Here is the psalmist, not Paul the apostle, not the disciples, not New Testament. It's the psalmist writing, expressing his heart to God. It says, revive me according to your kindness. Isn't that beautiful? I've never thought about that. Patty and I pray for revival. The word has never come out of my mouth. Send revival according to your kindness. Isn't that an odd? Anybody ever thought that? God, send revival because of your kindness. I don't know why we think God's going to send revival other than we're crying out, Lord, we've been praying for decades. We've been praying for years. We've been praying for weeks, months, days. Send revival. Don't you see all of the prayers that we've been put? The psalmist says, revive me according to your kindness. That's going to change my prayers for revival. I guarantee you. I'm going to begin to say, God, out of your kindness and your love for your people, revive us. But he goes on to say, I love that. Revive me according to your kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Let me read it again, because it really sparks up. What in the world is he talking about? Revive me according to your kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. That caused me I had to stop that, Lord, the testimony of your mouth. And as I see that passage of Scripture, revive me according to the testimony of your mouth, I'm going to say this, that I believe that in that verse, I can't go back and figure exactly what the psalmist was trying to say, but what I'm hearing him speak is, God, you have a testimony about who I am. You know who you created. You know who you've called. You have spoken over my life, perhaps prophetically. Perhaps you've read Scripture and the Lord has said, that's you. Any of you read Scripture and say, man, that's me? All of us in here have. Have you ever had a prophetic word say, thus saith the Lord? Blah, 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 blah. And you know, oh, man, that's what God sees in me. That's what God is. My friend Peter Van Niekerk, some of you met him here, and Todd's friend and Doug's friend and Patty's and several of us. One of his favorite terms is, God has faith in you. First time he says, What do you mean? I have faith in God. No, God has faith in you. Because he knows who you are. He knows what his call is on you. He knows what you're going to do. God has faith in you. And listen to this passage. I'm going to read it again. Revive me according to your kindness so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. This was what hit me when I read that. I thought, God, you have a testimony over Ralph Walden. You've spoken over my life. You've said what you intend to do in and through me. You've called me. You've anointed me. I'm a AAA Christian, anointed, appointed, and approved. And you, God, have spoken about who I'm to be. That's the testimony of your mouth for me. Every one of us in this room, stop and think, what has God said to you, over you? What has been spoken over your life? What does Scripture say about you? That's His testimony. Go back again, listen. With that understanding, listen to this passage, revive me according to your kindness. I'm not saying, God, you got to do this. It's your job to revive us. I mean, after all, you're God of God, King of King. You want to revive church, you got to do this. No, the psalmist is saying, out of your great kindness, revive me. Isn't that a beautiful statement? Anybody ever said that to God in this room? I don't know anybody. I bet I could walk up to almost every believer that I know and say, have you ever said that to God? Revive me according to your kindness. Now, I've said, God, revive me. Dumb old me, the guy that plods along too much, the guy that gets sideways sometimes, the guy that sometimes is unfaithful, revive me. But I've never said, according to your kindness, revive me. That I, what does that passage say? That I may keep the testimony of your mouth over me. I want to walk out what you have said over me. That is, revive me so that I can walk out your testimony about Ralph. Does that make sense? Are you getting this? This isn't New Testament, folks. This is Old Testament. It's just maybe with some New Testament revelation. I don't exactly know what the man meant. I don't know that David wrote this. I haven't researched it. I don't exactly know what his intent was. It could have been according to the testimony of over the nation of Israel. That could have been what he was saying. That could have been what this writer was. But when I read this, I saw it from a New Testament, from a Christian perspective, and looking at it in today's, and it was like, God, revive me out of your kindness that I may fulfill, that I may walk in, that I may be the person that you've testified that you expect me to be, that you've called me to be. That just, it struck such a chord in our hearts. Patty and I were just reading that earlier today. It struck such a chord in our hearts. I'm going to close here just for just a minute. How many of us have actually had an opportunity to experience revival? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but just as a thought, have you, if you were to back up and more than just words, I could say, man, Thursday night we were in Chapin, man, revival hit the place. What does that mean? Or my question actually is, how many of us in this room, and you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you have been at a place in your life and say, I believe that I have been in a revival. I believe I have experienced revival in my own life. I believe that I've been in a meeting where, or multiple meetings, where there was definitely the presence of the Lord was there. People were on their face. And I'm not saying revival doesn't have to look like this. Part of the problem we have as church is we don't quite know what revival looks like, because we see it there and we say, okay, well, if that's not happening here, we don't have revival. Well, that's not right. So we can't judge what God is doing in the places that you or I are in, maybe personal or in a meeting. We can't judge. Are we in revival? No. Listen, you remember revival? We were over those meetings over there in Jackson, Mississippi. That was revival. This, why not? Because they're not doing the same thing. That has nothing to do with revival. God's going to move. I believe God's going to move differently in Columbia, South Carolina. I believe God's going to move differently in Chapin. If we lay our ideas and expectations that revival looks like this, we're liable to miss it. We're liable to miss it because we're trying to fit God into that revival box. We have to be open.
We have to be open for something completely different. Now, will we be on our face before? Perhaps so. Will we be running around like a bunch of chickens with their head cut off because we're wild and crazy? Maybe so. I mean, we can see those kind of meetings. But if you've never been in a revival, that you would say, oh, I was there. Well, that might be a good thing because you don't have a misconception. And when it shows up, you're not going to say, this ain't revival. How do you know it didn't look like that over there? I believe God's going to surprise us, folks. I really do. I believe he's going to surprise us as we seek him, as we cry out, Lord, in your kindness, revive me, that I may testify of the works that you have over me, that you've spoken over me. I just can't get away from that simple passage. And I have to say, I've never, ever looked at this from a standpoint of speaking to us in this day. I've read it. I knew it was there. I've breezed through it because he was talking about the nation of Israel, perhaps. I don't know. Revive me according to your kindness so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Now, when it comes to mouth, I want to say one other thing and I'm going to close. Just think about what that psalmist is saying, the testimony of your mouth. What's come out of your mouth, God, and I'm going to bring it personal. I'm not sure again. I don't want to, I'm bringing it personal. God, what you said out of your mouth over me, revive me, that I may keep that testimony that you've spoken over me. Because, listen, other people have heard. My family has heard those prophecies. My family has seen what God has done. My friends have seen. Todd has seen. Doug has seen. There's a testimony out there about our lives. It might be small, it might be big. It depends on who you are and who you know. It doesn't matter, but I guarantee you, if people know that you're a believer, there's a testimony out there. I'm not sure what the testimony reflects, but there's a testimony. But what this passage is saying is not your testimony, it's God's testimony over you. What has he said? Because so the mouth is so important. And I want to say this, because I believe we need to know what's right here. And the passage is Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. I believe as New Testament believers, those that are seeking his face, those that say, Lord, I want you to move. I'm going to call it revival. God may call it something else. Doug may call it something else. Somebody, my wife may say, well, that's not revival. I'm going to call, Lord, move in me in such a way that I am testifying to what you've said over me, that I'm being that person. And do you realize that God is giving us right here the ability to call and to speak into someone's life words of life? You think about that. That's incredible. This isn't, I can lay hands on the sick and they can be healed. I can come and serve somebody. Today, we had a gal that was moving in the church. So I jumped in with some other guys and we moved. I was like, man, came home, told Patty, said, man, I really did that well. Woo, I was a big, no, I didn't do that. But so we have all of these different areas in which we can be a blessing. But you know what is in your lips? The fountain of life. I think of that often. Because if that fountain, and Brother Todd was saying, you might get hammered. Guess what? Right in the middle of the hammering, you've got a mouth that could speak life to the person that's hammering you. No, I'm going to defend myself. He's wrong. No. That was so powerful when I read those two passages together. The psalmist is saying that I can fulfill, that I can be the test, I can be that person that you've given the testimony, that I can fulfill what you've said about me, what the Word of God says about me. I can fulfill that out of your kindness. And it comes the same way out of our kindness when we encounter people. Walk with the knowledge that your mouth is a fountain of life. It can change people's lives. It could actually, I'm going to get real stretch way out here. It could actually call somebody into revival. Your word spoken could absolutely make the difference in a person's life. And we could actually be an instrument of personal revival in someone's life because of the words that come out of our mouth. And we don't think about that. We just go our day in and day out. As Brother Todd was sharing, those words, those thoughts that come, they're often from the Holy Spirit. And we're just, maybe, I don't know. You know, you and I are gonna run into people this coming week and the week after and the week after the week after. This is year 2025. We're in a new book. Let God write some new things about you and me. Perhaps some things we've never done before. And that one of those is, God, I've got a fountain of life right here and I want you to pour it on people. Can you say that with me? God, I've got a fountain of life. Please pour on others. Please pour on others. Through my fountain of life, speak to others and call them into revival. Call them into relationship with the Lord. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? Well, praise God.
of no.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Let's just all say that. Revive us with your kindness. Revive us with your kindness. See? That's good, right? My sister, I just want to give you a word of encouragement. You know, I just want to tell you that God is opening up a door to you. And it's been a while. You know, it's just I can see a lot of weariness inside of you. And God is strengthening you tonight. So you can leave here with a little more oomph in your life. Because, you know, the journey is, the race is an endurance race. It's a marathon. And you're right in the middle of the marathon. But, you know, these marathon runners, when they run, they get to a point where, you know, these people are and they hand them water. And the Holy Spirit's handing you some water tonight. And so when you leave here, you're going to be a little more strengthened to be able to carry on in your journey, okay? The enemy comes. You see, the enemy hates you. He hates you, okay? And these demons, they try to claw. I see these things clawing at you, and it's been hard. But tonight is the night to the break. These things are being broken off of you right now as I speak in Jesus' name. And you're going to be set free. And the freest you get some movement, because right now the whole thing, the attack is to put you in a straitjacket and get you meditating on it. But that's being broken on it. And just as you shared that song, you see it's already been broken. You know, you did that out of obedience. Yeah, well, so however, whoever did it. I don't know who did it. I knew it was somebody behind me, okay? But I'm just saying that was done out of obedience. But I just really want to encourage you, okay, that this is going to end, you know. But, you know, there's always another trial down the road. So just be encouraged. You know, you being set free tonight, you're going to be able to, these things that have been clawing at you are being broken off. And the things that have been taken from you, I just see if you've been ripped off. And God's going to restore. There's a restoration process that's beginning tonight, and you're going to see God restore those things. You know, if you would have known, if you would have seen, then you would have known to keep quiet. You know what I'm saying? And now you've learned through the process that your words that come out of your mouth carry power now. And God has put that in your mouth. It's like the whole thing, you know, it's like God puts us in trials, you know, and what he's trying to teach us, we have to walk out of that trial with what he's teaching us. And he's teaching you to learn to use your words to release them in power, and there's timing involved in it. So just be encouraged. God's got you all covered in love. He's got you covered in love. Amen. Doug, two words keep coming up inside my spirit, patient endurance. And patience endurance is something I know on the natural that you had some walk through. But the words patient endurance are power. They're two power words. It's not like, well, I got to be patient, I got to endure. No, you're walking in the power of patience and the power of endurance. And so the people that you're ministering to, those are the two key factors. They need to be patient or they need to endure. And God's going to give you specific words to give to them so they can continue on in their journey as well, because it's very important, because those people are just, they're worn out. And you're going to know. It's like we start off with this word about you speak word to those that are weary. These are the people that the Lord has been sending you to. And you're going to give them specific words and of encouragement. So I just want to tell you that you've gone through the trial. You've learned some things. But the power twins, patient endurance, are things that are coming out of the midst of your being. You know, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And that God's been speaking this to you. So that's going to come out in a greater measure. So I just want to encourage you in Jesus' name. Well, you shared the song then. I knew it was somebody behind me. Okay. Well, thank you for doing that. It took some courage, probably. Are you new here, by the way? Oh, okay. Okay, second time. But I just want to, you know, give you a word of encouragement as well. You know, there's something about words of knowledge that I believe the Lord wants to release through in your ministry in a greater dimension. And words of knowledge are going to come to you about knowing things about people that only God knows. And don't be hesitant to speak them. Don't be hesitant to step out in that, because that's where your ministry is right now. And the people that you're dealing with, you know, God wants to give you some inside information, because when healing takes place in their life, it's going to come right from the throne room. And God wants to use you that way in a great way. And I just want to encourage you to step out in that ministry. Don't be reluctant. You know, it's like what Ralph was saying. You know, that the thought comes, you know, and then you just speak the thought. And then as you get confidence over a period of time with that ministry. And I'm not calling you a prophetess necessarily, but you move prophetically. And God wants you to stir that up within you. Amen? Yeah. God is so good. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Terry, I think that, you know, I just feel like the Lord's strengthening you. You know, it's like you're on empty, you're on fumes, and now tonight you got filled up again, and you can go out there. How many people were here Saturday night, by the way? Just a handful. I think we experienced a little bit of a revival. You were talking about the joy. If nothing else, I got it. I'm kind of glad other people weren't here because Todd was very, very, very filled with the spirit of joy. It was overwhelming, and I don't know how it happened, and I do not remember. I know I was talking about a rosary, and that's the last I remember about that. And I don't know how a rosary got out. I was trying to figure out why they used a rosary. And because I'm not Catholic, but there was a Catholic person that was here, and she just loved what I had to say. So whatever I said, I guess, really touched her heart. But we, as it was sharing the glory of the Lord, I can't know how many times we've heard that tonight. And that's, your dream was such a blessing to me. Thank you so much for sharing that. I've been believing for people to receive these things, and you're sharing something that was right from the throne room and the glory of God.
Hovering.
Yeah. So it's something that I'm believing for. And the gathering's one thing, but to gather together and have God come in that dimension where the floor is too high, and we will be on the floor, and I'm really looking forward to that, because that is exactly what the Lord wants to do in these days, and God is sending His word to us through what you just shared. And I just really appreciate that. Ralph, powerful word tonight. Thank you so much for sharing. I know that there's some people in here that need healings tonight, maybe need a word. We have Charles here, and I like to just pick on him, but you know, he's here to minister. But if you need something, if you need a word tonight, I want you just to come on up here, and we're going to release the tiger back there. And you'll receive something from the Lord. But if you need healing in your body, don't leave here tonight without getting it. I really feel there's an anointing to heal tonight, and there's some issues with backs here. So please come and get your healing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, and you know, go, if you'll let it go or whatever, just contact her before you get out here. This is the kind of thing, some of you guys need to be doing home meetings, Bible studies or whatever. Also, too, you can pull from the talent that's here. There's a lot of talent here. You know, these guys, you know, this brother here, he knows so much about Hebrew. I think we could learn a lot. But we're going to be, you know, releasing some more ministries and stuff like that. But I'm looking forward to this month. We've got some people coming in. Sometimes I am kind of announcing it, I guess, through the text, but there might be a time when I don't say anything. Just know this, God is moving, and praise the Lord. God is so good. I don't know if you sing or not. I just see worship inside of you, sister. Yeah, I just see worship inside of you. I'm not saying to come up here and sing for us, but I just see worship inside of you. And I don't know if it's almost, I feel like the Lord misses your voice you know, just to lift it up before him. You know, he wants to hear you singing again, amen. And out of the, you know, it says he inhabits the praises of his people, amen. And you know what, you can have, like you're sharing that you guys, and that was a blessing to me that you all do that, you know, by the way. You know, that's a really, that's a cool thing, you know, that you sit in a room and you play the song or whatever. But I just want to encourage you, that worship that's inside you is bubbling up, and it's like a volcano. And God says, as you release that, okay, there's a force that just pushes these things away and opens up your heart to be able to hear him in a clear way. Because that's all the design of the enemy. But this is your war. This is your battle plan. Amen. So go and do it. Amen. And turn it up in a car like I do. And, you know, I sound great. I sound awesome. Amen. God bless you all. Anybody needs anything, just come on up. Yes.
Pray for God, David, last week. they really wore out. I walked up to that, and I'm like, yeah. He got it. He met me. Do you remember? He answered my prayer. I got the job. He did not even come to prison. I was faithful. He came to testify. He got the job. So it was just, you know, and the Lord just, it just, oh my gosh, I was just laughing, turning on, and just in an instant, that weariness that I had had, you know, over worrying over my nephew, and instantly, it's just been a week of joy, seeing the joy of the Lord is our strength, right?
Amen. And tell my joy, right, quick, while you're saying that.
Well, I've been praying for something. Well, that. No, it's history. You know, if I don't feel mad, you tell him, I'm going to tell him.
She said no, right?
You know, I mean, God's doing things, and I want to say it at the right time, but, you know, I will tell you this, and Bob will testify. We will not see the miracles if we don't step out.
That's right. Amen.
So Robert, the first time it happened this week, Robert ran into someone, and when he was telling me about this person who was sick, I was like, Robert, can you pray for me?
Well, I ain't on the right.
And the next day, Robert ran into someone else. This person has had a stroke, and he's double vision in one eye, right? So I said, Robert, did you pray for me? Since we're not going to see the miracles if we don't do it.
Absolutely.
We have got to start doing this. We've got to walk on. It's not us doing it.
Amen.
It's not us doing it. We have just got to wait and let the Lord work on us. He gets the glory.
Absolutely.
And he does not get the glory if we're not walking in and doing it. And this one's going to pray for.
Absolutely.
You know? So I told Robert, I said, well, did you pray for it? And he said, well, Terry, I didn't. But then, tell him.
Then as he got by the edge of the door, which is about this wall and that wall, the Lord told me, says, remember what Jerry told you, better go pray for me. Yeah, read, Bo, come here, wait, hold on, come here, I got to pray for you, buddy. He said, what? He got a dog on tape over one part of his glass, he can't see that dice, so he can't see me. Put my hand on his head, he goes, oh, what you doing? I said, oh, still a fool, I'm praying for you. I prayed for him and laid hands on him and prayed for him. And him and the boy was with me, almost started crying. I couldn't believe it. And I'm waiting for him to tell me what it does in the double vision. Yeah, I normally tell him to take the glass off to see if it's working now. I pray for him.
But the faith is that we've done it. We've laid hands on it.
That's it.
And they will recover.
They will recover. Yeah. That's
period.
It. Period.
Yeah. When? I don't know. Maybe instantly. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But what difference does it make if it's next week?
That's right, exactly.
What difference does it make if it's progressive?
Get on.
You know, it doesn't matter.
It don't matter.
You know, that's how that does. But we've got to be faithful and start doing this.
That's it.
Walking out.
That's
it. Calls us to be obedient.
That's
it.
That's right. And then when you do have someone come back and testify, oh, that's the other thing. So Ruth that was here over the weekend, well, last week, I had prayed for her feet. You know, she's got multiple issues and everything. And she comes here, sometimes she has asthma and cough, she wants to leave or whatever. But, you know, of the 10 lepers, only one came back, you know, and thanked the Lord, you know. And sometimes when I pray for people, I don't see it. You, of course, you get this in your hand and say, yes, they're not. You know, they're not healed or whatever. But guess what happened? I prayed for Ruth's feet a long time ago. When I saw her during the revival here with Danny, you know, she said, "Gee, I just want to tell you, you know, you prayed for my feet, and the pain went out of my feet. I've never had the pain back." You know, so we just, whether we're here or not, you know, we're doing it. She didn't forget it, right? She's having to walk every day on her sore feet,
yeah,
right? You know?
Yeah,
and you know, there's nothing too hard. So, and I just want to say this: even when I pray for the homeless, right? This one guy had HIV, and I. Maybe this isn't scriptural, I don't know, but I'm just gonna say he's forgiven. He's forgiven.
Uh-huh.
If he's asked for forgiveness, he's forgiven.
Amen.
Alright? And Jesus don't remember it anymore.
Amen.
So what right does Satan have to remind him of the lifestyle he had
yeah.
that Jesus don't even remember about?
Amen.
You know? In the name of Jesus. If this HIV has gotta go. You know? It's gotta go. You know? And that's just you know what I'm saying? I mean that just makes sense to me. Why does he have to carry around scars of his past life if Jesus don't even remember anymore?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You guys are stepping out. That's what I like to hear. That's encouraging. Very encouraging. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, Terry. Terry's a real fire. You know, I remember that you brought that guy with the brain thing, and we were sitting here, and the word came through me, he shall live and not die. And so it looks like he's living.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you all dismissed, and if you guys need healing or word or anything like, just come on up here, and we'll take care of it. Amen. Father, I just thank you for your word tonight, Lord. I ask you just to bless and fill each everybody overflowing with the Holy Spirit, and that they would go out and do great exploits in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Doing, how are you doing?
Good.
Amen. I have Charles come up here. He's a, you get a specialist.
Oh, a specialist.
Let's get the specialist now.
So,
amen.
Yeah, I'm in a lot of ministries, and so with my husband, we lead a marriage ministry at our house, and I have been feeling
problems, no comments.